Blog Talk Radio.
Take your eyes off. There's nothing here to see. Just trying to keep my head together. And as we make a vow, let us remember how nothing good could last forever.
Scott Enstra Network.
Joining here on Scott Enstra Network for Thursday. I'm normally doing Tuesdays and Thursdays by myself, but as you can probably tell by my voice, I'm actually not feeling the best. And I ran out of Clotel Silver, and because of my immune system, I got nailed. So I've been struggling here, and I apologize for those that I haven't got back on the calls. I'm just waiting to feel a little better so I can, you know, do my best when I talk to you. You know, last night's information was incredible. I just saw a posting on Facebook where someone had mentioned that the shows are scary. Yeah, they are. The reality is scary. What's even more scary is that the truth that should come from the mainstream churches are not. And as we've talked before, and as we've, you know, given that information out about the churches, about the corporate movement of the Zionists, and you know, that word probably offends a lot of people, but, you know, the dispensation was an intent to fog the minds of Christians so they were not capable of dealing, fighting, standing, praying against the enemy. Now, I went into great detail last night about, you know, what we're supposed to do and how we've been given all power and all authority. And since we haven't been doing what we've been called to do, the devil got an upper hand on us. Now, the book of Revelation, Daniel, 1 John, Matthew, you know, like Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 13:3 and Revelation 13:5 and 1 John 2:18 and 1 John 2:22 and Matthew 24:24, Thessalonians 4:13, 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist possibly has come in many different ways already, but not in the form that Revelation is talking about. Napoleon was definitely an issue. Genghis Khan, Hitler. I don't know. There was something going on else on there. That George Soros. Now there's a stinker for you, and then Obama. So what Julie's going to bring to us tonight? I talked to her earlier, and since I'm in the condition that I am, I thought I would just bring her on because she has stumbled across a lot of stuff that really makes sense, and so I quickly got online and looked at a few things that she was pointing out, and wow. So I think tonight we've got a lot of information that points towards a particular subject, an individual. And remember that we're simply giving the information that we believe has, you know, validity, meaning that it has, you know, some strength to it to give it, you know, to take a second look at it. You know, and as always, we go to our prayer closets. We search the scriptures daily. We're good Bereans, right? We test the spirit. And so all we're trying to do is just give the information out, throw it against the wall and see what sticks, to a point. But, you know, we have a lot of experience with the spirit realm. We have a lot of experience with deliverance, a lot of experience with dealing with the lie and trying to bring truth to a lie. And so tonight is just another bit of information that we hope that you can use. There's just so much out there right now that is wrong, that it's overwhelming. It's just, as the lady commented, it's scary. It is. I don't like any of this. I don't like any of the information that Julie's bringing up, because it literally tells us how close we are. We are so close, we can taste it, we can see it. And the church continues playing church. And it's absurd. The Christians were blamed for Rome burning, you know, why Nero played and all that. Well, here we are again. And only this time, this isn't localized. This is worldwide. With weapons that are incredible. And, you know, World War III right now, potentially, you know, a lot of that is hype. A lot of it's trying to get everybody upset. But, you know, how many times have you seen somebody pick on somebody or think they're just going to be funny, and next thing you know, it turns really serious? And next thing you know, you got a fight in your hands. You got two people whooping it out. Someone gets hurt. And that was never the real intent. Well, things like this happen, because in the details is Satan. In the fine-tuning are demons. And those things that we wrestle against wish nothing more than to destroy us. And we're so close. You know, it's like cattle. You used to see some of the roundups on some of the old westerns, and they would move cattle across great spans of land, barren land, and the cattle could smell the river. They could smell the water ahead, and they would stampede. Well, I'm afraid that's kind of what's happening here. We can smell the water, and there's a great stampede towards it, and it's not good. So, anyways, I'm going to go ahead and just, Julie, I'm going to bring you on. We're only going to do an hour, but I grabbed 2 hour space, so if we run over, it's not an issue. It's just a matter of how much I can deal with. And of course, last night, as I mentioned, you know, it was so much information that it was overwhelming. But at the same time, when you do what we do, it's to be expected, and we're just simply putting it in place. You know, I love getting things in order, like coming into an office that's kind of messy and going through everything and systematically filing everything and putting it in its place and dusting, and then leave the room and come back and then just get the feel of how everything's organized and nice and clean. That's the way I'd like to look at the information coming, so we can appreciate the information, because it's our tool for understanding what we're up against. Any military knows that they need to do a reconnaissance, they need to do an exploring of their enemy to see what they have, what they're capable of doing, and how close they are, and get any time frame. And with the information that Julie has, gives us a better information to what to stand against. So Julie, anyways, just jump right in. I'm going to just be listening myself, and then when you're ready, I'll reveal what I have found too, as far as maps and pictures. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to tell you, and you guys, this is all my research. I mean, this is all my thing. I'm not saying you have to believe anything I'm finding. Everything I told you guys last night, I give you the numbers. They're all working out. The math is good. You go look it up. And you don't have to believe anything I say. I'm just telling you, this is what my research shows me. And, of course, I make a case with all the numbers all the math, and I bring to this table the occult. I come with the occult. That's what some people have criticized me for that, and that's okay. I understand that you think I focus on the occult too much. But I think you've never focused on the occult. You spent your whole life sitting in churches that are dead, and they talk about Jesus, 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 and not his power, not the power he gives you, not what you can do against the occult, and they sure don't talk about your enemy. Well, as a soldier, you have to know your enemy, and you need to know what he's doing. You know, a football team would love to get their hands on the other football team's playbook, because that's going to tell them, well, I'm their playbook, so why don't you use me? I'm the enemy's playbook. I've read that playbook, so why don't you let me tell you what's in that playbook? And that way, instead of saying you talk about the occult too much, or you show us stuff about the occult, what I'm showing you, I can also take right back to the Bible, which I oftentimes do. My side, what God brought me in to do in this world, and I know that now because he made it very clear to me, is that I was brought in to reveal to you what's going on the other side. That's my job. Because when things are tense, you know, when things get tense, you don't always stop and think about what you're doing before you do it, because you're in a hurry, you have to go quick, you have to make quick decisions. Well, I'm helping you to be able to look around and assess your enemy's territory. And by the way, no matter where you're standing on this earth, you're in the enemy's territory, because this is Satan's world, okay? So I'm just giving you some tools. You can look around, and some of you have done some really cool stuff. Some of you have gone to movies. A couple of you went to the 007 movie, and I got the latest one, and I got text messages from my brother Will. He went to see it. He saw this. My friend Sonny and saw this and could see all this symbolism, and specifically went to see it just to see what they could see. And Sonny was very surprised at all the stuff that she picked out of that movie all the way through it, because she had been listening. And she was able to see things that they're planning by watching that movie. So it's kind of like, and don't be scared, okay, because you guys, this is actually, you have to look at it, it's kind of cool, actually, because you're getting information to show you what they're doing. And not only that, you know, when I point out that in 1997 he cloned a sheep, that really should be something that you just kind of smile and sit back and go, he's so jealous of Jesus, and he's jealous of us, because we're not his sheep. My sheep know my voice, and another voice they will not follow. So you should just kind of laugh at Satan. That's just kind of a, wow, you're pathetic, man. You got to clone your own sheep. Jesus doesn't have to clone us. All he has to do is, all we had to do is meet him to know that we wanted to be with him. You have to clone things that are programmed that'll mind you and robotically do what you say. Jesus doesn't have to do any of that for us. We love him. We'll do whatever he says. So that's what he's jealous of. So that's kind of the funny part, is where you just kind of look at it, roll your eyes, and go, oh my gosh, he's grasping at straws, you know? So just kind of look at it, not scary, but when you start to see all these numbers adding up, the three pillars, the third temple, all this stuff lining up and adding up, don't be afraid of it. Just be like, wow, okay, I can see what they're doing. I get it now. This is because I really think, too, and I don't mean this disrespectfully toward anyone who's been sitting in a church, it's the pastors that I have a problem with, because here's the deal. They haven't really taught you guys. I mean, I've noticed there's no hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, this is serious, in the Christian walk. This is a race of time. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. This is very, very fast moving. Even for Satan, 2,000 years moves quickly. And you haven't been taught, in my opinion, you have not been taught the severity and the absolute life and death of what every day means with Jesus or with Satan. And so it's like, oh yeah, the end's coming, we won't take the mark. But it's not going to be that easy. Do you really think if we could be deceived, if it were possible, that it's just going to be like, okay, line up, get your mark. You don't want the mark, okay, you go over there and die. Okay, you don't want the mark, you go over there and die. Do you think it's going to be that easy? I mean, if we could be deceived, then it's not going to be that easy. Okay? So they haven't really, in my opinion, instilled in you what you need to know about your enemy to understand when he pulls out, you know, a pump shotgun, you go, that's a 370. No, you don't need that. Here, let me show you a real gun, you know, and you pull out the Holy Spirit, you know. I mean, you need to know what they're going to, when they pull something in front of you, what is it that they're doing? If they say it's just a vaccine, that's all it is, and this, that, you need to know what they're capable of doing scientifically, what they are doing scientifically, so you can see it coming. You know, you can always weigh in with the Holy Spirit, what is going on, and let him help you.
Julie, let me point out, too, that actually one of the bigger factors that I've seen is to determine what is a counterfeit. There's so much out there that looks like it's the real thing, and it's not. And I just quickly wanted to mention, too, that you know, you mentioned Jesus. Actually, a lot of churches do not talk about Jesus. I'm somebody who was churched, and if Jesus is not the main focus, then I'm out of there. I don't want anything to do with
right.
it. Go ahead.
And the ones here that I've gone to, the three or four that I've gone to, they sing lots of songs. You know, I don't really know what they are because I've never heard them, but they sing a lot of songs about praise and the blood and Jesus, which they still do the blood songs here. I don't know if that's something they do everywhere, but they do it here. But it's all about this praise and worship, and nobody ever really gets in your face and says, look, you need to repent. You need to get on your knees. This is a place to come and get clean. You need to confess. You know, it's never anything where you walk out of there feeling convicted going, oh, man, I have got to clean myself up because I did that this week or I, you know. So what I want you to do is not just know if the pastors would be teaching you or any of them would be teaching you and bring people in. When people come to your church and they've spent a whole life in the occult, the best thing to do is have them to be able to take the Bible and open it and say, see where it says that right there? Yes, this is what it means. Here's what I used to do. This is what was on the other side, and that is what that's talking about. We were doing that against your kingdom. Now that's what that's talking about. And show them where what we did on that side, what now they're doing, matches up to what's in that book. So you can see it live and in person. It's happening right in front of your face. Crack your book open and go, oh, it says it right there. That's exactly what Julie said, and that's what they're doing. So you can see prophecy unfolding in front of you. You can see the scripture waking up and it's alive right in your face. So don't be scared because Jesus has our back. I mean, even if we die, we don't die, right? So don't worry about that. But one of the things that he was talking about that I ran across today, I saw a movie. I don't ever watch movies, but my husband and my son talked me into doing this. And I was watching a movie and it had some biblical prophetic stuff in it. And so I got to watching that, and one of the things that struck me, first of all, I know this is crazy, but Victoria's Secret came into my mind. Okay, VS, Victoria's Secret. I mean, I know I shop there. I'm sure a lot of you women do. What I looked at was the V and the S. Well, the V actually stands for the fifth age, and the S is the serpent. So it's the fifth age of the serpent. And I have these big giant maps on my walls because I teach my homeschool my kids. So I have these big maps of the continents and everything. And I get to looking up here at this map, and what do I see? I see a skull, and then I see a foot, and I'm thinking, the cradle. It's actually called the cradle. Gibraltar, the big statue, is the cradle. It's the cradle of life right there. And that's actually what it's called, okay? So I look up on the map, and I take my little pointer, and I go up, and I look at the foot, and I look at the cradle. And I see where the heel said that he will bruise your heel, and then he will crush the skull or the head, right? So I'm looking at this, and I literally see the cradle and the foot, and I see the heel. And then I look and I see the top of the skull has been crushed. It's broken off. That used to really not be there, by the way. These shelves, they geologically have said were not always apart. The Mediterranean Sea was not actually there. So this is broken off, and what's above it is what? You know, the UK, United Kingdom, all that stuff up there. And then if you come around, you'll see Somalia come out, and that's the horn on the skull. And then Kenya, very notably, has a lake called Victoria Lake, Victoria's Secret. Don't ask me why, I just went there, and it's a lake. And I got to looking at that on the map, and then I saw that was the eye of this skull. Then I saw the nose right there where Mogadishu comes off, and then I looked down, and I saw Mozambique, and that was the mouth. And so I'm looking at this, seeing the skull, and the chin is South Africa. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, bruise the heel, crush the head, bruise the heel, crush the head. And oh my gosh. And it clicks, and I grab the phone. Victoria, Lake Victoria. That's where Obama is from. He's from right there on the map. Kenya, right there with that Victoria Lake. That's where that man is from. So I went, wait a minute. It says that he's going to, remember what it says about the heel and the head? And I look, and there's the skull, and there's the head, and there's the heel, and there's Kenya, and there's this Victoria Lake. And who's from Kenya? Who's from Africa? Who's from over there? Obama's from over there. And everything started clicking. And I started just absolutely, I could not even believe. It was like one thing after another. Now, I called Scott. And one of the things that he did is I don't have the detail on the wall map, although it is pretty detailed, that he has, that he went on the internet and looked up. But I'm telling you, when I read that, that scripture actually talks about that. The head, the crushing of the head, the heel, the bruise, and then it talks about this is where this person's from, right? That's where he's from. Well, there's the continent with the cradle of life, which it also talks about that cradle, that crescent, and all that stuff, remember? So it talks about this cradle. Well, this is actually called the cradle. I did not know that until recently. It's called the cradle. So I started looking at that, and whenever I saw the top of the skull missing and it was crushed, and then it talks about where this is where he's from, this man, this person. And I look at the whole continent, and I look at this beautiful, big, pristine lake sticking out named Victoria Lake, and I say to myself, who is from there? And that's Obama. So I'm not telling you one thing or another. I'm going to give you take it for what it's worth, you know, go with it, whatever
Julie?
You want to do. Yeah.
I just kind of see something here. When you wink, you only see one eye. So we're
That's
only
right.
looking at one eye as if it's winking.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, you're right.
Ooh, I just got chills on that.
Oh, dude. Oh, wow. When
Holy smokes, yep.
Time. Oh, my
right.
goodness, I got you.
Yeah, me too. Now, let me jump in here real quick. So I went to this like Julie asked. And when I went to Africa, so this is what you need to do, people. Go to Google and just type in Africa and hit maps. And that'll take you there. And then you can zoom in and you can see Uganda, Kenya, you know, all that area. And if you hit the Google satellite and then get the actual picture, when you're looking at Victoria Lake, which is what it is, it looks like a bull. The two eyes, the horns would be two lines drawn for territorial, like a county line or a state line would be drawn on a map. That's where the horns would be, but there's two defined eyes. But there's also an appendage on the bottom. Now, I don't know what, you know, to make of that. I have some opinions, and I'll just keep that to myself. But why does this lake look like a bull, horse? Why does it look like something that is a golden calf? And again, why are we looking at something that looks like a skull winking? And then the fact that Obama is from there, when you have probabilities with these kinds of numbers, it's time to take up, you know, to take notice. again, Julie, you know, even if you're not 100% right here, there's a lot of information here that certainly points towards one thing. Anyways, I just wanted to bring that up. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, you know, everybody can do their research, but sometimes whenever I get on something, if I call you, you end up helping me just completely figure the whole thing out. I get part of it, and then I'm stuck, and I'm not sure what I'm looking at. So it's nice when you have a partner. If you guys have partners that you do research with or anything, you know, maybe you can, you know, tell them, and you guys can go at it different directions, because everybody thinks differently. My mind kind of works really at super speed, so, you know, sometimes I have to go talk to Scott because he slows me down, which I need. But one of the things that really stuck out of my mind, and I'm not saying he is the Antichrist. Do you remember when Satan entered Judas? And then he says, when Jesus was talking to Peter and he turned around, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." So he said that Satan was using Peter's mouth. That's what I got out of it. Maybe you guys saw something different, but that's what I got. And so he said, "Get behind me, Satan." And then Satan entered Judas. And so I wonder how many times he's done this over time. I'm sure he's run in and out of many of his subjects. So I just wonder if he isn't in... I personally think that he is actually driving the car, because I believe Obama... Well, I already know he's not a human. He's a reptilian. But I believe he's the spirit driving that car. That's just my opinion. And I don't believe... I don't know if he's the Antichrist. I don't even know about that. That's not even on my radar right now. But I believe he's driving that car. And I can think of no other person, as far as the Bush, Daddy Bush, I think he either was greatly influenced by him, by Satan, as far as tell what to do, or Satan jumped in and drove that car for a while too. Because, you know, they can come and go in these bodies. They don't have to, they're not like us. I mean, when we deliver people, you can have 10,000 demons. I mean, I kicked 7,000 demons out of one person in one day. So, you know, Satan can step in and they can get out of the driver's seat and he can take over for a while. So I personally think, because when I look at him, I see red in his eyes, and I have watched him close his eyes several times, and there's red-orange color through his lids. I can see it. And it's, and then he's Slick Willie times 10. I mean, Clinton didn't even come close to being what this guy is. So, I don't know, when I saw that and I read, you know, that prophecy, and I looked at the map up there, it really struck me. And, you know, Victoria's Secret is what? The whole thing is about what? Seduction. And don't they wear wings? Victoria's Secret, these girls wear wings on the catwalk. And did you notice that they take the pictures? Oh, I know this because I wear their things. They have, like, sweats and things like that I wear that have the dog. It's the pink dog. Okay, the pink dog. And did you notice that the girls oftentimes are holding a dog? And you think, oh, that's so cute, they're holding a dog. Well, yeah, it is cute. And, yeah, they have wings, and that's kind of cool. But here's the symbology, okay? There are three animals that are often used in representations by Satan. One is a cat, one is an owl, and one is a dog, okay? It's not an accident that those three animals will come up in commercials like that, okay? Not the Fido dog food commercial, the sexy underwear commercial. There's a dog. And on the back of the underwear and on the little logos and on your sweats, it has the pink dog. Okay? So this is all symbolism. The word for dog is spelled D-O-G, backwards is God. Okay? And these things don't happen by accident. Okay? So the cat, the owl and the dog are three of the most, that's like the top, besides the dragons and serpents, the top three animals that you will see him use in a lot of movies. The movie Back to the Future, you'll see a scene where it goes across the wall, and there's a cat clock, an owl clock, and a dog clock. That is not an accident. That was not an accident. You will see him, the professor, say, when this baby hits 88 miles an hour, you're going to see some real bleep. It's not an accident that 88 was the number picked, okay? And then you start looking where it gets to the plutonium. What is the elemental chart? Does anybody know what the number for plutonium is? It's 94. What's 9 plus 4? You see where I'm going with this? This is a really big deal, and this is what they do. They hide their messages in movies, commercials, in buildings, on top of buildings, on the sides. And when you start to decode what they're saying, you can actually get ahead of them as far as them, you knowing what's going on. So you can actually get yourself thinking, okay, they're planning this, this, and this. This is what they do. And so if something like that comes around in the future that seems quite deceptive and it's too good to be true, then you can look at it, and he's going to tell you. Every situation is going to be uncovered for you by numbers, letters, signs. That's what they're going to do. And they're going to hope that you remain ignorant and not know what they're doing. But the people who listen to this show are not going to be, because they're going to learn this.
Julie, let me bring something in here. All right. I remember a couple of months ago, a year ago, I don't know, time's flying. There was a rug in a sheriff's office in Florida, and the rug was the logo or emblem of the sheriff, Pine Hills or Pinellas County, I'm not sure, I don't remember, but it said, "In Dog We Trust," and supposedly it was a misprint, and I understand that rug, when they discovered the issue, it went up for auction and sold for almost $10,000. Now, if I remember, there was a picture within that logo of somebody standing by a lake, like an old man with a cane. And underneath it, it says, "In Dog We Trust." Now, I have a feeling that that wasn't by mistake. What do you think, Julie?
No, it wasn't by mistake. The dog is one of the major representations of Lucifer's kingdom. And we call the dog our best friend, right? Man's best friend. Well, that's meant to be a compliment to the animal, that they make great companions. But again, Lucifer takes everything, and what does he do? He corrupts it. He does it all the time. And so if you run into that kind of thing and you see it, it's never an accident. In Dog We Trust. You know what? I would have bought that simply because I like my dog. And I would have thought it was funny. You know, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. Never would have crossed my mind. Because I wasn't thinking, oh, let me just, you know, I didn't go that way in my head. I was like, oh, I love, you know, I used to be, I mean, I had a great big dog kennel in California. So that's, you know, where I was. But remember, when he does this stuff, he always picks things that are close to our heart, you know. Things we like, things we've come to love, and he does it. He does it even with our family, you know. Where the Bible said that there would be mothers against daughters, and what was that thought?
Well, it's the return of Jesus, in that there's a division that takes place, and so you're going to have a division within the family and a division within the siblings themselves, as well as those that are in marriage. So there's a division, a dividing of the sword.
Right. So, you know, he's going to take even our own family, you know. He's going to do that with even our own family. So, you know, the owl was always meant to for them to signify knowledge, that you're on the edge of, like, discovery and recovery. Somebody once told me that gray aliens sometimes appear as owls. So, I mean, I can't say that I saw that myself, but...
yeah, that was Matthew 10:34.
Okay. Well, and sometimes Molech, the god Molech, who was actually symbolized as an owl and as a bull. So there were two different, in many parts of the world, the owls have been associated with death and misfortune. It's because of their nocturnal activity and that screeching call they have. So owls have also been associated with wisdom, prosperity, and they were oftentimes the companions of animals for goddesses, which I'm sure you guys have, Ra, the god Ra, which is actually Satan. Ancient Egyptians, they used a representation of an owl for their hieroglyph, for the sound of an M, you know, and even though they would draw this hieroglyph with its legs like broken to keep the bird of prey from coming to life, that's what they would do. And in the Native American Hopi Nation, the taboos surround owls, and they're closely associated with evil sorcery. The possession of owl feathers is considered an indication of witchcraft. And the Aztecs and the Mayans, along with other natives in Mesoamerica, also considered the owl a symbol of death and destruction. So you can see why Satan would pick something like that. The Romans also used them. Magicians, you remember they say, behold a pale white horse in Revelation? Well, there's an owl in a lot of these depictions being sent out. The man on the horse is sending the owl out. And they also talk about the goddess that's an owl, the owl goddess. So you can see that he's using, and anybody would use the owl because obviously, it has a lot of dual symbolism of wisdom and darkness. So that a lot of the owls, the clairvoyance, astral projection, and magic is oftentimes the medicine of the sorcerers and witches, and they're symbolically associated with that. And then you would be drawn to magical practices. So don't, Sid, that's what he does. He uses things that we actually like. I've had a lot of religious people that had said that there was something wrong with, people having owls in their houses or whatever, but trust me, God did not create evil things. He did not create everything he made was good. And just because Satan wants to take it and ruin it doesn't mean that it's bad. You know, and you'll also see in the UK, you'll see the Queen, a lot of her she has like a lot of animals in her care. And she seems to like certain kinds of dogs, and they're herding dogs. Her favorite dog, or what she was portrayed to have, was a herding dog. This dog, low to the ground, but they're called corgis, Welsh corgis. And they herd. That's their job. They're herding animals. Very popular in the UK, but there's a reason why she has that type of dog. They are trying to presently herd us into the New World Order. And just like they use the monarch butterfly, you know, we all love butterflies. I do. I think they're beautiful. But, you know, once again, here we go with him trying to contaminate anything and everything God does. So just take whatever he does and don't get excited about that. A lot of people will say that you have to get rid of your, well, one lady told a woman to get rid of her dog, her two precious little Pomeranians. So, you know, don't listen to people if they go down that road. One of the movies that I actually would recommend that you see if you want to know about this, a lot about what's going on, is The National Treasure with Nicolas Cage. I knew about the movie, but I had not seen it because it tells a lot about their symbols and the meanings. The Celtic bull is actually, because while we see the bull up here on the map, It's a very revered animal among the Celtic animals. mostly because the Celtic bull symbolizes the strong will, uncompromising and even belligerent. The bull stands for unbending, stubborn personality traits, and that's where you get the term bullheaded. My God, you used to always say I was bullheaded. On the flip side, the bull is also like a sign of virility for men and a sign of fertility for women. You'll see donning the bull symbol in the bedchamber. It's always like on the sheets or the robes or pillows, et cetera, in a lot of movies. And it's supposed to lead to sexual strength and endurance, but this is what they do. And that's one of the reasons why Molech, the bull, was the god that took your children. He would absolutely burn your children, but then give you kids. See, you see how psycho they are? I mean, it's insane what they do. And they also, the cat, I mean, from the Egyptians to the Romans, okay, this cat symbolism, unanimously, the cat represents the guardian of the underworld in every one of the cultures, Egyptians, Romans. The cat represented the guardian of the underworld or the other world, depending on what text you read from various regions. They were supposed to be like silent and mysterious and stoic, and they kind of are. We have a cat and she's a lot that way, and they kind of fit the bill of the other world guardians, you know. They were supposed to be known to keep secrets of the other world eternally to themselves. They are a witch's, a lot of times the cat is a witch's familiar, that is her familiar, which in my case was, and that and a wolf. As the days with they'll do that. Remember that it's a Celtic poster where you have the cat that's looking at. They're supposed to they would look upon the world, you know, with guile upon the world, and they didn't see or understand the depth of their own knowledge. They were very, very crafty and clever, but they were actually guardians to them. And they're also liaisons to the mystic realm. And you can invoke them. That's what they do. And they say that it grants a caller a variety of insights that give them more esoteric or ethereal knowledge. So they are various among all of those animals. The dog, okay, was... And actually, the dog animal symbol, it maintains a pure root meaning throughout time and culture. It has never changed, which I find quite odd. But the meaning of that is loyalty, of course. You know, that's what they symbolize, the strong bond of companionship that's felt between human and animal. The dog was considered to be good luck in the village. And it was a symbol of the dog was commonly found in a lot of the decor and the clothing. I have heard it reported that the dog symbol is a harbinger of good health. They always would say things like that, and that the companionship of the dog would ward away illnesses and loneliness and rejection. So you would see that dogs ended up being like a necessity in life throughout life, and this was kind of the general symbolism of the dog. So when Satan uses it, he's definitely using it in the negative way. But, you know, that's what he does. It's to be expected. But, Scott, whenever you look at this bull shape up here on the map, the first thing you said, like it had the ears and it looked like a calf or a bull, what are the odds of that, actually?
Yeah, you know? Well, again, now that I, you know, so it'd be the right eye winking, otherwise it's closing, and the left eye stays open. I was just doing a quick thing, too, you know, the Antichrist, too, receives a wound in the head, and let's say that the skull had partially part of it blown away, and this is why you don't see the other eye. Just a thought. I'm looking at some of this stuff now. So, again, when you run the numbers, the probability, I mean, that's where I, you know, that's where I came out of, was an engineering science background, and the goal was to eliminate all, you know, variables and to promote those things of fact so you can come to a conclusion that gives you the proper outcome, especially when you're designing something. you want to look at all potentials. You know, one of the things that amazed me when I first got into business years ago, when I was talking to my attorney about a contract, he stated, when you make a contract, you want to look at all the things that can go wrong, you know, not necessarily those things that go right, so you can cover yourself. Well, that's the way I look at the research. What do we have? What's the potential? What's the error factor? things change to some degree, but we know that basically everything is, you know, in its place. So, you know, Julie, with that information on what you've discovered here, certainly warrants a deeper investigation. Now, the Congo is just to the left of it, which is an incredible area that a lot of people say has still not been totally investigated. The 1040 window, you know, that was discussed, you know, some years back. I don't hear too much about it anymore. But everything that I see here, again, excuse me, with the information that you bring, certainly looks like that you've got something here. So I would encourage others to look. You know, the other two is with Britain just above here, United Kingdom. You know, those guys, they've never left here. You do know that. Washington, D.C. basically is in their clutches. That's what that whole thing's about, District of Columbia, which is not under the Constitution, which is not under U.S. law. And the whole thing is Masonic. The whole thing's Freemason. Everything that we see, the symbolizing that Julie was talking about, Freemasons go right along with it. We were talking about that last night. So, you know, when we, again, just take a step back and look at everything. One of the other things, whenever I run into somebody that rejects everything immediately, I've usually found that's a demon. Now, let me be specific here. To receive everything is also a spirit. So there's a happy medium. Now, but in that happy medium, we're able to be discerning. We're able to weed out lies, and we're able to receive the truth. And in that truth, then we become more grounded, more solid in our faith and understanding who we are, what we're dealing with, and what we're supposed to do. So when Jesus said that I will spew you out of my mouth, you know, regurgitate, you know, throw up, because you're lukewarm, that's someone who really doesn't have something founded, period. And if it's the church, if it's the people themselves, whatever the aspect is, we need to know what side of the fence we're standing on now. And without Jesus, we're nothing. Without his blood, Satan would just wipe us out a long time ago. So, Julie, I don't want to go too much longer here because I am fading. But if there's one thing you can close with, please go ahead.
Well, you know, Obama did stand when they had done the dedication of the tower, the new One World Tower. One of the things that I noticed that he did was he quoted Psalms where he said that he basically quoted that he was God, to be still and know that I am God. And the abomination of desolation stands in the temple declaring himself to be God. Now, I will tell you, and this is absolutely the truth, there is no truth whatsoever to some building some darn temple over in that godforsaken land over there. That is not what it's about. The temple, since Jesus came, was always you. He said, tear this temple down, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And they laughed at him because they thought he meant the temple that took 47 years to build. He was talking about his body. And that's exactly what we are. Do you not know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? You are the temple. That's what Satan wants, you. Do you understand? It's you. He wants to be like you. He wants to have his own you that will do everything he says. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know, one other thing, there was a time when people would say, and this is what I've heard Christians say, you got to accept Christ into your heart so you can be saved. Well, I want you to go back and read that again. Everybody go back and read it, because I am going to say that everything they've been telling you about that is wrong. Go read it again. Read it again, because that's not what it says. Did you know that you don't have to ask Jesus into your heart? Read it. When God made you, he made you of himself. God is the one that made your spirit. He made it already in you, because you are everyone made by him has him. He made you. He's the author of your very existence. He's already there. That's an insult to him to ask Jesus in when he's already there. He made you. And you know why I know that now? Because that's what the book says, number one. And number two, I always wondered why I always had that still small voice from the time I can remember anything telling me not to do this, not to do that. That was God in me. That was Christ said he was going to write the laws on my heart. He created me. God created me. My spirit came from him. And that's why anyone that is born the way a man and woman create children and not this cloning, whatever way they do it, you already have the Spirit of God. He made you. Okay? Now it's just a matter of that Spirit finding its way back to Jesus. Okay? You don't have to ask God in. He already is in, because he made your spirit. Why do you think whenever that day came when he showed who he was to me, it all clicked? My DNA stood up and saluted my commanding officer, because I knew then and there everything about me and around me and in me said, oh my goodness. And why do you think I went to the floor and couldn't stay on my feet in front of a most holy God? Because even my spirit, my DNA knew I was in the presence of God. So you already have his spirit. You just need to recognize who he is. There are millions of people across this world that are not human. And I know that may be hard for some people to understand, but it is. They're not human. They're clones. They're reptilians. They don't belong to him. And sometimes people can't tell the difference. Most people can't tell the difference. They probably work with reptilians and don't even know it. So just remember, you already, all you need to do, you know, they've been teaching this stuff for so long in the churches that people just, they think they have to do something to get him in their life. All they have to do is just say, hey, are you real? I didn't know. And there he is. And so just remember that he's already there. He was there the whole time. He followed me everywhere I went. Jose had the same story. The same story. They followed him everywhere he went. He always had still small voice telling him no.
I wanted to mention, too, that throughout the Bible it talks about having your name taken out of the Lamb's book. The throne of Satan, Obama was there at the altar. And so I think that's one thing that we have to remember. Also, the flies that are all over Obama. And, excuse me, also, too, I saw a video where there was an interview with him, and he went down through the list of those who were accusing him of being the Antichrist. And he mocked and laughed and absolutely just was terrible through the whole thing. So I'm telling you, you know, regardless whether he is or not, he certainly is evil. But, you know, God will not be mocked. God is the victor. Satan is defeated. But right now, he's still in the battle. And we need to make sure that you're ready for this. Regardless of this, of the information, if we're 100% right or not, I don't know. But certainly this is worth taking a look at, But we do know one thing, and Obama is evil. And I agree with Julie, he's not human. Nobody could sit there with flies coming in out of their mouth and be okay with that. That just isn't going to happen, or in their eyes. So all the stuff that Obama is doing is showing the dictatorship of evil, period. The killing of children, those things that he's doing over in the Middle East, the laws that he's trying to, well, he is implementing against us. So, you know, whether he is or not, just like Julie said, someone's behind the wheel, and it's not Jesus. Pretty scary. You can finish with one more thing here, Julie, before we go.
Okay, and one thing I wanted to tell you guys, remember when it said in the Bible, he said, I turned his mountains into wasteland and left his inheritance to the jackals in the desert. The descendants of Esau, which is the beast dragon, may say, we have been beaten down, but we will rebuild. Remember they said they would rebuild when Esau, the whole kingdom, was beaten down. What did he do? He signed a metal beam inside the One World Trade Center, and it says, we remember, we rebuild, we come back stronger. WWW is Hebrew, and the Hebrew is 666. So the symbolism of what Satan is right there on that metal in that building. So I would ask you to look at that too. And if you guys come up with anything that I haven't come close to yet, please email me, because I'm still figuring this one out. I just hit on this today. So maybe you guys could, you know, help me out a little bit. It would be great.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, that concludes tonight. Tomorrow we'll be back with a lot more. We'll do the 2 hours tomorrow. Again, God bless everyone that has helped me in this ministry. This has not been an easy task, but it's the only thing I know to do anymore. I walked away from the corporate world. I'm doing what I can to continue, you know, what I feel I've been called to do. And so here we are in the last days, and, you know, Paul reminds us to run the good race. And I have every intent of hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what I want for you guys, too. All right. Good night, Julie, and God bless.